Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Heather's Sixth Word Sacrament meeting today. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us. We'd like to extend a warm welcome to any who are visiting or here for the first time. President John Anderson is presiding at this meeting and has asked that I, Brother Beckstead, conduct today. A few announcements to draw your attention to. We've got a number in the ward bulletin, including some upcoming meetings for leaders. But the big one, as we've been mentioning the last couple of Sundays, is that we will be meeting at a new time next Sunday, just for next Sunday. So due to the Windsor State Conference that will be happening in this building, we will be meeting at 1 p.m. next Sunday. So please show up at 1 o'clock rather than 9 o'clock next Sunday and remind Let's remind all of the ward members about that so that we all take advantage of that opportunity to sleep in. Also, next Sunday, we will have ward council at 11 a.m., given the earlier meeting time, so that we can not stay late and have time with our families. Other just couple announcements. Ward Youth Conference is coming up August 19th, and there will also be activities going on prior to that point. That is going to be a wonderful event that the Hollands have done a great job leading and planning for us. We will open today's meeting by singing hymn number 139, In Fasting We Approach Thee, and then the invocation will be offered by Brother Dennis Buman.
Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to be here on this Sabbath day, to enjoy a day to contemplate thee and thy goodness to us and thy many blessings to our families and loved ones. We're thankful for the opportunity to partake of the sacrament, to meet with our friends, to learn more of the gospel, and be united in prayer for others. We pray thy spirit will be here to bless those who bear testimony. Would thou bless each of us that we can hear and have compassion and love and understanding and have our own testimony strengthened. We pray for our bishopric and our state presidency and for the general authorities who lead us, who give thy word to us. Wilt thou bless them? We're thankful for our opportunities to serve in the temple, to serve many ways in the community, and to serve in our own ward. We're grateful for these opportunities, and we pray thou will always be with us to give us strength and blessing. And we pray, Father, for thy spirit to be here today. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
And we have just a couple of items of ward business today. The following member has been released from their calling, and we propose that they be given a vote of thanks for their service. Brother Dan Holdaway as ward employment specialist. Those who wish to express their appreciation may manifest it by the uplifted hand. For the information of the ward members, Brother Holdaway was set up as President Holdaway of our Elders Quorum this last Sunday. So we're excited to serve with him as our Elders Quorum president. The following member has been called to a new calling, and we propose that she be sustained. Will the following please stand if she is present? Heidi Beckstead, as the Lord Advisor in the Young Women. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, if any, may also manifest it. Thank you. It's my privilege to open our fast and testimony meeting today. And one thing that's been top of my mind recently has been missionary service. I've got especially two boys who are approaching that age in the next 2 to 3 years of preparing for becoming a missionary. And one of the things that I decided to do was to, part of that preparation and also maybe for my own fun, was to take advantage of fam home evenings to share experiences from my missionary journal with the family and relive those experiences and give them a little window into that experience. And one of the things that's come to mind, first of all, it's been a great experience, probably even more for me than for them in reliving those experiences. One of the things that's really come to mind is just some of the parallels between life itself as well as being a missionary, and how those 2 years can be similar to the lives that we experience. A few thoughts on that. One is about how there's ups and downs in life, and there's ups and downs on a mission. And it's interesting to be going kind of chronological through it. And one day I'm talking about how wonderful it is and how I'm feeling the Spirit, and I'm reading the next journal entry and talking about how I'm struggling and how it kind of almost feels like it flips back and forth almost on a daily basis. And I think in our lives, there's similar ups and downs that we experience. Not always it's day by day, but can be experiences and the challenges and struggles. And makes me wonder sometimes as I'm reading them, am I the same person? How did 2 days change absolutely everything within those experiences and how I was feeling, whether feeling the Spirit or not feeling the Spirit? Another one is just the theme of when I was happiest as a missionary was when I was feeling the Spirit the most, and having that manifestation. And as I've experienced life, I think that's also true for our lives. No matter how everything else is going, when I'm feeling the Spirit and feeling at peace and feeling comfort, that's when I feel most happy, almost regardless of some of the other situations and things that occur. There's also a dream. We recently saw Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat, so I figured I'd share a little dream as well that I had on my mission two or three times early on. And it was a dream early on my mission that I had already finished my mission. And I was home from my mission, and I was talking to my dad, and it was weird because I'd just finished my mission and I hadn't really remembered what had happened on my mission. And I was like, well, what happened? And I was asking my dad, can you tell me what happened? Where did I serve? What experiences did I have? And he wouldn't share it with me, even though he knew, because I'd written all my letters home, barely, and he wouldn't share with me what had happened. And I was like, come on, I gotta know. And he was like, well, you have to experience that for yourself. And the parallel I drew at the time that I think is true is kind of like our lives. Our Heavenly Father already knows the experience. He knows all, and he knows the experiences we have, and even what choices we'll make and what we'll do. But this life is about us for experience them, and it really is up to us to go through and make our own choices and live those experiences. And that's why we have the veil of forgetfulness, and why he won't share with us what's going to happen to us. And it's for us to have this experience, and that this life really is for our own experience, growth, and with an eternal perspective that we can have in life is a really, really important thing to remember as we go through our lives, that this is not the end-all, be-all of everything that we're experiencing. Just like in a mission, it's just part of our life. It can help the rest of our lives, as my mission did mine in many, many ways. But this life is just a short little small moment in the eternal perspective, and just a dot in the eternities. And that as we reflect upon life with an eternal perspective, I think that it will help us to understand when life's not fair, that it's not permanent from that perspective, but also as we think about the experiences we have and what we can grow and learn from them, that we can realize the personal growth and experience can far transcend just the short-term moment of what may or may not seem fair in this life. I know that missionary service is a wonderful opportunity experience. I'm very thankful for the opportunity that I had to serve, and it was truly a life-changing and life-defining experience for me as a young man, and would really encourage all the young men, especially my sons, as they prepare to serve, to really focus on preparing as much as possible before. And as we're preparing also to have the opportunity to serve as older couples, that to prepare and do things that will help us to have that wonderful kind of giving and service experience. I know that we're blessed tremendously for that service in all ways, and that there are a lot of people out there that could use our service, and the most one of those things that can make us most happy is serving others. I know the one thing I learned more than anything on my mission was that Joseph Smith was a true prophet of God. My go-to whenever I needed to feel the Spirit when I was teaching as a missionary was teaching the story of the prophet Joseph Smith. That was the thing that would always, without fail, bring the Spirit. And I think the reason was because that was the new message we had to share. I served primarily among Christians and Catholics, and they knew of Jesus Christ. And that was also a powerful testimony to share of his life and his sacrifice. But the new news we had to share that could be the window into the rest of the truths of the gospel that we have that help us know Jesus better is the restoration of the gospel. And that, without fail, would bring the Spirit because it was a new area to people that they needed to know and could feel the Spirit. And with very few exceptions, I could tell the investigators just felt the power of the restoration and of his story. I'm thankful for the living prophet that we have today, President Monson, and the clarity we've received by him giving shorter talks so we know what those few things are that we need to focus on overall as members. I'm thankful for our stake presidency. I'm very thankful for our bishop. Serving with him has been a wonderful experience and personally very confirming of his call as bishop. And I'm thankful for him and his leadership, his love, and unique insight that a bishop can have in helping us individually in our lives. And I share that with you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the time is now yours to share your testimonies, and we will go till approximately 5 after the hour. Thank you.
Deep breath. I'm Cindy Clark, and we've been in this ward for 21 years, but I don't know a lot of you, so I'm Cindy Clark, and I have a granddaughter named Gracie, and she actually went to camp with us about 4 years ago, and she, as a freshman in high school, she was a starter on the varsity basketball team. As a freshman in high school, she won awards in track and cross country. As a freshman in high school, she was the top dancer on the dance team. And she's just an amazing performer, and she can sing like an angel. But she is depressed and has no self-confidence. And she doesn't believe in herself, even though she can dance like she does. Because imagine sophomores, juniors, and seniors, how would they feel about a freshman starting on the team? How would sophomores and juniors and seniors feel about a freshman getting the medals at the track meet or being the lead dancer on the dance team? Kids can be cruel, but Gracie needs to realize that she's a daughter of a Heavenly Father who loves her. My husband and I have had the opportunity to serve as Pathway missionaries for 2.5 years, and we just finished, and it's been an amazing experience. And there are some young people who come to our classes who struggle with self-image. One of them had anorexia really bad and had to be hospitalized. Another little couple boys had autism, and they couldn't deal with people. One person had a fear of speaking in front of other people, and they get up and teach, and he did it, but he had to leave for a minute, go out in the hall and take deep breaths, and then let Rick take over for a minute, and then come back in and finish his lesson. And I'm so impressed with the church and this wonderful program, the Pathway Program, that helps young people gain an education and also a sense of self-worth. Just last week, we were in the Institute class with the Jensens, and they're amazing teachers. And they, Sister Jensen had the kids get up and talk about their feelings about Jesus. One little girl stood and said when she first went on her mission, she was just out for a week, and she came across this terrible wreck. And so she told her companion to hurry and call 911. And she went over. This guy was bleeding profusely from his chest. And so she wasn't trained in anything, but she knew that you have to use compression. So she pushed her hands down to stop the bleeding. The paramedics came, and they took him away on a gurney, and they tried to take her away, too, because she was covered in blood. And she said, no, I'm just a helper. And she had her little missionary badge on. And a lot of people had gathered around. And the police woman came over and said, okay, we're ready for your testimony. She said, my testimony? And the policeman said, yes. And she said, right now? And the policeman said, yes. So she stood up covered in blood, and she gave her testimony of Jesus Christ. The policeman said, no, I mean your testimony of what happened at the accident. She had never heard of another type of testimony. And we all laughed, but when she said that, I thought, she has a sense of self-worth. She can stand up and act as a witness of God at all times, in all things, in all places, even in the middle of a wreck, covered in blood, with people and bystanders standing around. And that's what I want Gracie to be able to do. She needs to feel good about who she is. I know, and here I'm an old grandma, and it's taken me a long time. I know I am a daughter of God, and I know that He loves me, and I know that He cares about me, and I know that He listens and answers my prayers, if not immediately, then eventually. I know that my Savior, Jesus Christ, atoned for my sins, and I know that He is the Son of God, the literal Son of God. And I am so grateful for His example, and I hope that I can live to be like Him and be kind to others, as my little young Broadbent home teacher told us his goal in high school was to be kind to others. And I just think, what a great idea to start school. Be kind to others and be an example like Jesus Christ to others. I know that Joseph Smith, an uneducated farm boy, restored the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God and a further testament of Jesus Christ. And I know that the gospel has helped my life, and it's helped me get through hard times. I'm so grateful for the gospel in my life, and I'm grateful for my husband. He loves his father, his children, his grandchildren, and he doesn't just tell them, he shows them, because he serves them. He served the missionaries in our pathway group by being a great example to him. And I love him now and always. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
My name is Christian. I attend to the 8th Ward in the Windsor stake, and I'm not. It's been a long time since I did this in English, so please bear with me. As well, I don't know if I'm nervous or it's cold or I don't know. And I'm a crybaby. I'm just shaking, and it's I don't know. I just need to come up here. Sorry. So, know you're not here to see people cry up here, especially a stranger. But I've been going through a tough time this past few months. And then yesterday was, I had a rough hour. I got a little angry. And then I asked Heavenly Father, I was like, why is this happening to me? And then he told me, he's like, do you remember this day when you, oh, okay, never mind. So I remember things that I've done in the past, not necessarily bad, but just when it was an occasion where I listened to the people around me instead of Heavenly Father. If you haven't gone through an experience like that, you will probably experience it soon or one day where Heavenly Father tells you one thing and the people around you, people that you love, they're going to tell you something different. And that's going to get confusing because it's the people that live around you, that they care for you, that you've known for a long time. But then you have a feeling to do a certain thing, but everyone is against it. And you feel that if you follow your prompting, you're betraying their trust and just that friendship that you have with them. But a lot of those times, well, all of them are going to be difficult to make, decisions that are going to be difficult to make. But I know that Heavenly Father loves us, and He cares for us, and He knows way better what is best for us. He knows everything. He's all-knowing, and He has all power. And if He tells you to do something, you should do it. So you should not be afraid to go with that prompting after you pray, you fast, and all these things, because you need to know that you'll be okay. And not because you don't do what He tells you to do means that He's gonna stop loving you. That's not the case. He will always love you. He'll care for you, but there are consequences. I know that. I know that this church is true. I know that Heavenly Father loves us with all His strength, His power, everything that He has. I know that Jesus Christ died for us. And He's been active in our salvation to this day. I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Hello, everyone. Some of you may remember me. I'm Charlotte, formerly Broadbent. Now I'm Charlotte Klein. My husband and I are visiting for a family reunion, and I was sitting there and enjoying listening to the testimonies, and then I had a little thought, and it started growing, and I was like, I know this feeling. Dang it. Okay, here we go. So I live down in Las Vegas with my husband now, and I'm going to be a teacher this school year. They're just building the school, so it's a little chaotic. The building isn't even done, so school's going to start a week later than scheduled. And this last week, we did teacher training. And we had a motivational speaker come and speak about how to be an effective teacher. And he gave us the tried and true method for being an effective teacher. And this method of teaching has brought schools from the lowest performing schools that have stayed at the lowest performing schools for years and years and years, all the way up to the top tier, highest performing schools, and pulled kids through graduation. And it's very simple. He said there's lots of programs like intervention programs, RTI, where they pull kids out and they help them catch up on curriculum they don't understand. But it's if we go down to the basics and reform the way we teach, then we'll do our own intervention by pulling these kids along with us and no one's gonna be left behind. And this method was, first, you teach a concept. And then there's guided practice. So the teacher will present a concept and then we'll guide the students very, very specifically on how to practice that concept the teacher just taught. And then the third step is check for understanding. And then you wash, rinse, repeat. You reteach, because there's going to be kids who don't get it the first time. Then you reteach it, more guided practice, check for understanding. And you go all the way down, just repeat, 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 all those three steps. Until at the very end, when you know every single student is with you, because the check for understanding, you can check all the students. Then at the very end of that, when you know every single student is with you, then you can go on to independent practice where the student can essentially walk on their own and do it on their own because they know exactly what to do. And it hit me, I was thinking about it this week, Christ is the master teacher. And it occurred to me, I think that's how he teaches us. He'll teach us a concept. I know I've experienced this in my life. He'll teach me a concept and he'll guide me. And then he'll check my understanding and I'll fall back down. And he doesn't say, well, I tried. Good luck, go walk on your own now, I tried. He reteaches and he guides me in my practice and he checks for understanding and I fall down again, but not as hard as the first time. And so he goes back up to the top again. He reteaches the concept, guides my practice, checks for understanding. And I really do believe that Heavenly Father won't let us walk on our own until we can, even though it feels very much that way. Whether it's struggling in life, whether it's making mistakes because of our personality, whether it's struggling with addiction and relapsing, getting over it and relapsing again. It's easy, I know for myself, it's easy to get discouraged when I keep falling short in the exact same places that I've fallen short for the rest of my life. And, but, like I said, it kind of hit me that it's just reteaching and reteaching and reteaching and reteaching. It happens that way for a reason. And I felt that thought was just in my mind very strongly this morning, that falling down again and again and again in the same spot is not failure, again and again and again in the same spot. It's reteaching and reteaching and reteaching. And then when we finally do get it, and we can walk on our own, Heavenly Father will let us do so. And that gave me hope in the process of change and learning. And those are the thoughts I wanted to share with you, and I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning, I'm Dan Broadbent, Charlotte's dad. We both happened to stand up exactly the same time and looked at each other, so we got to walk up here together, which is nice. Recently, I set a goal to reread the Book of Mormon, and I'm happy to say I'm in 2 Nephi. I'm not in 1 Nephi still. I've done that a few times, but I made it into 2 Nephi recently, and I just wanted to share a thought I had from finishing 1 Nephi. So in 1 Nephi, when Lehi's family is wandering in the desert, Laman and Lemuel come to Nephi, and they complain to him, and they say specifically, "We could have been happy." That phrase really stuck with me. We could have been happy if we stayed in Jerusalem. And at first glance, it seems like a reasonable statement. They could have been there with their riches and their nice place to live and their friendships and good food to eat. They didn't want to think about the consequences of the city being overrun and destroyed because then they wouldn't be happy. They'd be captured or killed. But they didn't believe that was going to happen, or at least they didn't want to believe that would be happen. And so they firmly believed they could have been happy if they didn't have this dumb wandering in the desert thrust upon them. And it occurred to me that we often hear that from ourselves or from others. We could be happy if we weren't overrun with all these church rules and regulations. We could just do things that we would naturally want to do. Wouldn't that make us happier? And we don't want to believe that doing those things will cause ultimate harm. But I just wanted to offer as my testimony, I'm very grateful to be in the church. I'm very grateful to be in the gospel, so that as we go through the processes, like Charlotte was saying, as we fall down, there are these guidelines that bring us back, and they bring us back, and they keep us happy in the long run. We shouldn't take the view of, well, if we could just give in and run with our natural inclinations, we could be happy. No, in the long run, that's going to lead to captivity or death, like Laman and Lemuel, and I really do see that in my own life and in the lives of others. So I wanted to offer that as my testimony. I'm grateful for the gospel and grateful for my family. And for each of you, and I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
So I've kind of felt the need for a while to bear my testimony, and finally last month I told my husband, next month I'm going to bear my testimony. So that's a pretty effective way to remember if you need help. But I felt the need lately to strengthen my own spiritual foundation and my testimony, and it's been amazing to dive more into the scriptures and to really look at every aspect of my testimony. And really, really see the plan that God has for me and my family, and how much hope and happiness it brings. And I really loved the testimony so far, just because I feel like they've expressed a lot of what I've been feeling and thinking. And there's one scripture that I really love that's in Mosiah 2:41. It says, "Would that ye should consider on the blessed and happy state of those who keep the commandments of God, for they are blessed both temporally and spiritually." And it goes on to say more, but I know that that's true, and I see more and more as I try to keep the commandments and live those. I feel like they're so perfectly calculated to give us everything that we need in our lives to be able to stay strong and to be able to come back to God. And it's funny how if we step away from that, how easy it is to forget and how easy it is to get caught up in those things and other things in the world. But that as we keep coming back, that he just keeps helping us, keeps reminding us, and keeps giving us that bigger perspective. And I'm so grateful for that. Sorry. And I know that God lives, and I know that he loves us. I know that I am his daughter. I know that Jesus Christ lives and his atonement is real. And it's there to help us change and to grow. And I know that God's plan is perfect. As we keep his commandments, that and take every step that we can and just keep coming back, that he'll guide us and he'll lead us to where we need to be. And I'm going to say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Jim Strang, perhaps among you better known as Joni's father. I had a feeling come over me as I was sitting listening to the other wonderful testimonies. And it has to do with the Book of Mormon. I'm a first generation member of the church in the Strang family. And I have had a desire almost from the beginning to do genealogy work, to go to the temple. And over the past month, I have had a family-type opportunity. Almost a month ago, I went up to Moscow, Idaho, and for those who are not aware, that's way up north, about 90 miles south of Spokane, Washington, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, for a 3-year combined high school graduation. There were only about 90 or so in each graduating class back then, and so the years have taken their toll. But I have two cousins, living cousins, my age, in the vicinity. And in going to that reunion, I took some Books of Mormon with me, with my testimony on the inside cover, and offered a Book of Mormon to each of my cousins. And in each case, she said, I'd be happy to have this. Another situation is in staying at motels. I always check the nightstand, the bedside, to see if there is a set of scriptures there. Oftentimes there's a Bible, but rarely do I see a Book of Mormon. And I have made sure since moving here, what, 6-7 months ago, that as I travel, whether family related or to meet with income tax clients down in the Phoenix Mesa, Gold Canyon area, that I have some Books of Mormon with me. And this last year, I fulfilled a promise that I had made to myself and to my Heavenly Father that every time I met with a tax client, only very, very few are members of the church, that I said, I would like to give you a gift. And yes, it was a Book of Mormon with my testimony. Brothers and sisters, this is so easy to do when we have a testimony of the truthfulness of the gospel and we have a close, friendly, not business, but friendly relationship with individuals. And in my particular case, I've been doing taxes for the same people for 15 or 20 years. And why I didn't take this opportunity sooner, I guess I have been prompted and chastised a bit because not all of these clients are still here. Some have moved, some have passed on. And why I have not done this sooner, I feel somewhat ashamed. But what a wonderful good feeling it is to be able to offer, and not once was that Book of Mormon refused. Not once. I know Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, and I know the Book of Mormon is true. I know our Heavenly Father and our Savior love us and are encouraging us and are grateful every time we are on our knees to express gratitude for the blessings in our lives. My deceased passed away 11 years ago. And why I've been allowed to have more time on this earth than she, only God knows. Each of us have our appointed time. We don't want to rush it. But indeed, we need to make good use of our time while we are yet here. I know the gospel's true. I was baptized when David O. McKay was the prophet of the church. And there were 8 temples. If my memory serves me correctly, I think there's 157 now. And I love to go to the temple. There are times in the temple that I feel closer than ever to our Heavenly Father and feel more gratitude in my heart for the blessings in my life and in the lives of my family and friends, and those of you who are neighbors. and members of this ward, and I thank you, and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. This week I had a couple of experiences that made me feel grateful for the principle of repentance and the gospel of change that we have. For the last couple of years, I've worked with a program in Salt Lake for people that have had basically a lifetime of crime, that have been in and out of prison for many years, and I've spent a lot of time there with them. And it was particularly interesting this week as I was up there. The director of the program has been, he served, I think, 22 years in prison before he was probably 40 years old, in and out six times, and he has completely changed his life, and he is now one of the most respectable people that I know. He's an amazing man, and his assistant spent many years as a drug addict and drug dealer, and is just an incredible person now. And they are directing a program where people can change their lives, completely, do complete 180s, and go from the worst circumstances possible to live productive and happy lives. And my son and I were getting our haircuts the other day, and the woman that was cutting my hair, I don't know why she started to kind of spill her life story to me, but she's 6 months clean and has been in a recovery program, and she was telling me about it. And as I was thinking about these things, I was thinking about how difficult it is for me to change simple things. I don't have the problems that they have. I had good parents. I never had to deal with drug addiction or the many challenges that they have had in their lives. And I think, how weak am I that I can't change these little things that beset me day to day? But I know that I can if I would put more effort into it. And I know that Heavenly Father has given us the tools through repentance and through just basically coming to church and listening to our peers, how they are able to change, that we can do it. And I'm grateful for that. And I bear my testimony that the principles of repentance and faith do work, and that this is a gospel of repentance and change. And I'm very grateful to my Heavenly Father for that, so that people like me and people like my friends in these programs that have done awful things can completely change and be forgiven and have our lives cleansed and return to our Heavenly Fathers. And I bear my testimony that these are true principles in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Arthur Boyarjian, and I felt impressed to come up here and talk about the same line as Brother Beckstead about missionary work and missionaries. You young people out there, I'm going to give you a promise, and it will come to pass if you do it. If you put the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life, everything will fall in place for you. Everything. Sometimes you meet people, they said, talking about their travels, you know. They say, I went to South America, I went to China, I went to Japan, I went to Spain, all over the world. Missionary work is very easy, I'm telling you. And sometimes when you hear people talking that way, you know, they went all over the world, then you may ask this question. Did you find what you're searching for? And they might answer, do I search for something? And you can say, well, everybody in this world is searching for something. Like, for instance, they're trying to found the Fountain of Youth for centuries. They never did find it, and they're still searching for it. And then you can say, well, we have the Fountain of Youth in our church. And then you can read the scripture to them. And he said unto him, and he said unto me, this is in Revelation 21:6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the first of the fountain of the water of life freely. This is great. And you know, sometimes we feel that Father in heaven abandoned us. That's not true. We think that Father in heaven is high up, that you cannot reach him. Father in heaven is near us. Each one of us. I had an experience about 2-3 weeks ago. I went to the temple, and the temple was closed. So I said, well, I'm going back home. As I was going back home, the Spirit said to me, go to the city center, Provo Temple. I said, okay. So I went. And to make the story short, I was in the endowment room meditating. Father spoke to me. And he said to me, what you're going through now, it's nothing, he said, compare what I went through when they crucified my son on the cross. So he said, stop murmuring and be of good cheer. I said, okay, Father, I got the message. He loves us, each one of us. Each one of us, he loves us. And he's aware of our trials. But he's always near to us. I can testify to you, brothers and sisters, that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world has nothing to offer. But only the gospel in your life. And if you hold on to the iron rod and do it to the end, everything will be well with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you for all those who participated in today's Fast and Testimony meeting. We will now close this meeting by singing hymn number 125, How Gentle God's Commands, and then the benediction will be offered by Brother Larry Shaw.
Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful this Fast and Testimony Sunday for the opportunity we've had of gathering here together to partake of the sacrament, to hear the testimonies that are born, and partake of the Spirit. We're grateful, Father, for the gospel. We're grateful for our Savior. We're grateful for the atonement. For the Prophet Joseph, for the Book of Mormon, so many blessings in our life that allow us to grow, to progress, and to have the opportunity, both individually and with our families, to return and, and be with thee someday. Bless us throughout the remainder of this Sunday, that we will enjoy and partake of our meetings, and we'll feel thy spirit, and that we'll remember this day and keep it holy. For these things we're so grateful, and say them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.